Hi, Max Elbaum. Welcome to KABU.
Thanks, Bill. Pleasure to talk to you today.
Max Elbaum has been active in peace, anti-racist, and radical movements since the 1960s. He's an editor of the website Convergence and the author of the book Revolution in the Air, 60s Radicals Turned to Lenin, Mao, and Che. And that's now in its third edition. He recently published a book with collaborators Linda Burnham and Maria Poblet. It reflects changes in the world and changes in his thinking. So, Max, tell us about Power Never Concedes and your reasons for writing it.
Power Concedes Nothing, How Grassroots Organizing Wins Elections is a collection of 22 chapters written by organizers who in the progressive social justice movements who participated in the 2020 election, sharing their experience, what worked and what didn't. There's five sections of the book. The first section concentrates on particular states and various social justice groups in those states that made a key difference in the election and defeating MAGA and Trump. Georgia is the first chapter. Michigan is the second chapter. There's chapters on Florida, Arizona, written by groups, organizations that integrated electoral work with non-electoral work as part of a long-term power-building strategy. They were clear-eyed that the MAGA movement was an existential threat to everything that they stand for in terms of racial justice, gender justice, workers' power, fighting climate change, war and peace. And their approach was to fight MAGA and build their independent strength along the way. Those kinds of groups and organizations were also featured in the other four sections. The second section is about working communities of color, which played a decisive role in the big turnout to defeat MAGA in 2020. The third section is workers on the doors, talking about the contribution of progressive labor organizations, trade unions, and the national domestic workers in mobilizing the vote against MAGA. The fourth section was about democratic socialism and its role in the 2020 election. And the final section is about national coalitions and organizations that coordinated work across different states. We felt it was important to get those stories out there because the social justice movement played a key role in 2020. In particular, they reached voters that are ignored and neglected by both political parties, by the establishment of both parties. They dig in for year-round work around campaigns and issues that matter. They connect the struggle for political democracy with the day-to-day needs of people's lives around healthcare, around racial justice, around access to reproductive health, and so on. And in 2020, they played a key role in what was a very close election, especially in key battleground states like Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and so on. We wanted to get those stories out there so they could be used. There's a lot of lessons from what worked and what didn't. We wanted to get them out there, so we hustled in 2020. The book came out, was available starting in March this year. Its official publication date was in September. And we wanted to get it out because we felt that those stories were important and contained a lot of lessons for 2022 and 2024. Essentially, in 2020, we fought against the peak of the backlash that's been going on since the 1960s. Took off with Reagan, intensified with the Tea Party and birtherism, and has reached its peak, trying to reverse all the gains of the 1960s, and for that matter, the gains of the New Deal in the 1930s. And in 2020, we fought MAGA to a stalemate, and we faced that same situation going into 2022 and 2024. So we thought it was important to get the book out so people could read it and grasp whatever they wanted to take from it in terms of its lessons for the next stage.
Yes, it sounds to me that these lessons are really important. We're now approaching, tomorrow is in fact election day. People are apprehensive. Tell us, give us an analysis in terms of 2022 and what should be done in 2024 give us analysis of what you learned to get that massive turnout from below.
Well, the first thing is the stakes. The MAGA movement, which has taken over the Republican Party, is very explicit about its goals. Wants a one-party state, minority rule, return to the era of a new kind of Jim Crow, push women back into the home, climate change denialism, all wealth to the wealthy, destroy the labor movement. They're very explicit about it. The candidate for governor in Wisconsin said, if I win the election, Republicans will never lose another election in Wisconsin. They already control the Supreme Court and trifectas in terms of legislature and governorships in almost half the states. And they want to use 22 in 2024. In 2022, their hope is to capture the Senate and the House. And they have plans for a legal coup in 2024, no matter who wins the popular vote or the Electoral College vote, between the Supreme Court and control of the electoral apparatus in different states, they think they can install their candidate and seize complete control of the federal government. So the groups in written in power concedes nothing, are clear-eyed about that. And they recognize that to beat MAGA, we need a broad front of everyone who wants to defend democracy or opposed to that agenda. But there's a specific and political role for the progressive social justice movement. It's not going to be done by the mainstream liberal opposition to MAGA. The key things have to do with the constituencies that have a huge stake in social change, but have been neglected by both parties for many decades. Those on the bottom, workers, the poor, peoples of color, those who are marginalized, the LGBT community. Mainstream politics neglects a lot of these people, parachutes in every 2 or 4 years asking for their vote and then gives them nothing. So there's obviously that leads to cynicism about politics and about whether change can be made and whether there's any role at all that people can play. And the kind of groups and profiled in Power Concedes Nothing are dig into those voters. They're there year round. They conduct issue-based campaigns. They've flipped the script on what's called in the mainstream low propensity voters to talk about them as low investment voters. People don't invest in them. So of course they don't feel invested in the political arena. These organizations invest in them. They're there year round. They take part in those struggles, whether it's the Unite Here Union, the Labor Council in Houston, Texas, the National Domestic Workers, groups like Lucha, Living United for Change in Arizona, or the New Georgia Project, which are in those communities year in, year round. Lucha was formed out of when Arizona was such a centerpiece of anti-immigrant legislation. They worked for 10 years. They got rid of Joe Arpaio, the racist sheriff in Maricopa County. And they flipped moving Arizona out of the hardcore Republican ranks. So those are the kinds of things. There's 22 stories. Not everyone agrees on every detail, but there's some of those common themes about how to work and how to build their independent power, even as they participate in a broad coalition against MAGA.
This is Cable Radio. Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm talking to Max Ellenbaum, a longtime leader and activist on the left who co-edited the book Power Concedes Nothing. We just discussed his evolution and that of the left, still building movements from below and also getting much more involved in electoral work. This much increased involvement in electoral work was crucial to defeating Trumpism in 2020. Still, a good deal of the left critiques electoral work, contending that in the final analysis, it is movements from below, majoritarian movements deeply committed and inspired, that can save the world from rapacious capitalism. The critics then contend that electoral work becomes all-consuming and it interferes with movement building. For an example, that if our candidates win, they argue, its backers become complacent. And if we lose the election, the backers, the electoral workers, get despondent. Or they point out, the critics, that electoral organizing, the Democrats insist on the volunteers using their scripts and answering in door-to-door and phone contacts, exactly the points that the Democratic Party has decided that they think is going to be a winning discussion. And that then, if people are, in fact, who are really committed, begin to converse in that way, that it they begin to believe some of that stuff, because the fellow phone workers or door-to-door people are also saying it. And the Democratic Party then sort of captures those people who were developing a radical sensibility. Why don't you reply to that, some of those arguments?
Well, it's pretty hard to do politics in a country if you see the ground that most people think is where they participate in the political arena to the enemy class. You have to participate. We don't set the terrain. We have to fight on every battlefront. Obviously, movements from below push social change. But the electoral arena is the place where that gets ratified or not ratified. And you have to be able to influence the electoral arena. You also need a strategy to get political power. And you can't have a strategy for political power in a country that has an electoral system without engaging in those electoral politics, whether you're in Brazil or whether you're in France or whether in the United States. And I think you can see in the last few years the way that things have changed in the left. From the time of the collapse of the Rainbow Coalition in the late 80s until 2015, we were pretty much a protest movement, and they had to contend and protest and do all kinds of important work, movement against the Iraq war, against the war on terror, against the tax on immigrant rights, all of that. But in 2015, we saw the difference with MAGA taking over the Republican Party and unleashing the kind of stuff that existed below the surface and has been building since the late 1960s, and Bernie's campaign. And Bernie's campaign energized tons of people and showed what could be accomplished in the electoral arena. It's responsible for the re-legitimization and popularization of democratic socialism. And you can see Bernie's trajectory, which is to set an anti-corporate, anti-capitalist pole within a broad front and to fight within the electoral arena as well as outside of it. You know, Bernie's just done an 8-state blitz because he's talks all the time about the danger of Trumpism, the danger of MAGA, and the urgency of political involvement in the electoral arena and synergizing it with grassroots movement. I think it's the day after tomorrow. Chris Smalls is on the head of the Amazon Labor Union talking about the links between what's at stake in the midterms and workers' power and linking it with racial justice and all the other social movements. So you can't ignore the electoral arena. The trick is to figure out how to build your independent political power and expand your base. The kind of groups profiled in Power Concedes Nothing, they don't submerge their own agenda within the Democratic Party. They talk about the importance of defeating MAGA. And when they go out and talk to people and get lists and identify voters, they start an on-ramp where those people, they control, they keep those lists, they keep that outreach, and they set people on an on-ramp to join their organizations. The organizations that have thrown down in the electoral arena against MAGA have grown. They built their political power, they built their credibility, and they're in a better position to influence politics. We saw the way that Bernie influenced the Biden administration going into after 2020. So I think that has changed the dynamic on the left. And the vast majority of the left now feels abstentionism or third partyism is just not a realistic strategy in terms of where the population is at and how you're going to do politics in a country where the electoral system is the main way that the majority of people, including the majority of workers, the majority of people of color, vast majority, do politics. We're not going to get everywhere we want only through electoral work, but to get governing power is a stage in the struggle to get state power and change the political system altogether, as well as the socioeconomic system.
Yeah. In addition, Max Albaum, editor of Convergence, two books that received, pointing out that Max was a shining light in the story in writing history of the last 60 years, partly from personal experience, of course. Max, it seems to me that these various reform the movements often decide to do campaigns around specific issues. For example, let's say global warming or medical care or almost any other issue, it's quite possible in those campaigns to point out the radical potentials in all of our institutions, radical potentials to democratize. And for example, in the climate movement, the climate action movement, the left is emerging, a left program is emerging that seeks to set up networks of local, publicly owned, democratically run utilities, confederated for storage and other things, but in fact, operating democratically in their community, sort of a combination of participatory budgeting and community organizing by everybody. Max, tell us about the possibilities of doing organizing in that way so that we're committing people to the potentials of actually participating meaningfully in daily life in their communities.
I think there's a tremendous audience out there, receptivity to radical ideas and exactly the kinds of things you're talking about, Bill. There's the younger generation and people who have been through the last many years and are hungering for social change are very open to radical ideas. And we see that with the popularity of many radical ideas right now. But the other side of politics is you have to be able to implement those ideas. You don't win support if you have good ideas alone. You have to be able to show some results. You have to be able to deliver. You have to build confidence that people, that you are not just a critic or someone with ideas, but you're capable of implementing those ideas. So, you know, there's been an evolution of groups like that. So we have, you know, most of the progressives are concentrated in cities. In a whole bunch of cities, people have won different things. Rent control, have developed alternative models, but you mentioned participatory budgeting. In states where the state legislatures, right, because of gerrymandering and so on, are controlled by the Republicans, the state governments then pass rules that say cities can't do certain things. And a lot of those models that you're talking about, which are urban-based, then get outlawed. So a lot of organizations have decided they have to take part in the fight to determine who's in the state legislature and who controls the state legislature. So big campaigns like in Florida, where they won felony reenfranchisement, which was driven from below by organizations, one of them, which is one of the authors of one of the essays in Power Concedes Nothing. And all those kinds of things, who the terrain is determined so much by who holds federal power. Look at what the Supreme Court has accomplished and was threatening to accomplish in the next few years. Voting rights, the independent state legislature doctrine, labor rights. There's another case about federal regulation, whether you can even, some of the rules that protect polluters and so on are going to get, might get thrown out, protect against polluters. So it's not a question of either or. We need to be able to build movements and attract people to radical ideas, and we need to affect the political arena and show that we can make a difference there and build our independent political strength along the way. That's what the Squad, that's what Bernie, that's what all the different progressive and socialists who've been elected to office are struggling to do. And they've made a difference in many cases, and we need to make more of a difference.
This is Bill Resnick from KBOO Radio. We seek to bring a realistic hope in hard times. Our variety is in the variety of movements from below that we cover, that justify that hope. I've been talking to Max Albaum, a longtime leader and activist on the left, who co-edited the book, Power Concedes Nothing, We just discussed his evolution, that of the left, building movements from below, but getting much more involved in electoral work. Max, tell us how people can get your book and the websites that you've published in, and give us a sense of Convergence.
Convergence is a online publication devoted to fighting for a robust multiracial democracy, an economy that works for all on a sustainable planet. You can find it at convergencemag.com. The book Power Concedes Nothing, How Grassroots Organizing Wins Elections was published by OR Books. You can find it by just punch into Google, Power Concedes Nothing, How Grassroots Organizing Wins Election, or Power Concedes Nothing Elections. There's a special book on Convergence Mag, convergencemag.com. And, Convergence is the sponsor of the book, but my co-editors, Linda Burnham and Maria Poblet and I, and there's 40 different authors and interviewees in the book. I encourage people to look at their websites, New Georgia Project, Lucha, Unite Here, Gulf Coast Labor Council, National Domestic Workers, Working Families Party, People's Action, Win Justice Coalition, that included Planned Parenthood, SEIU, Color of Change, Black Voters Matter, See the Vote, Democratic Socialists of America. Those were all featured in the book.
Max Eldbaum, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
It was inspiring. Thank you.